You'll find an authorized version of the scriptures. Before you're in your pew, pick up the Bible and turn with me to the last book of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy at the chapter 31. Chapter 31 of the book of Deuteronomy. And we're reading from verse 1 to verse 13. If you want to sing it, you're welcome to do it, but keep it in tune. Chapter 31. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, everyone reading. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that he may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be of good courage, be strong, and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests and the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which ye shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ending our reading at verse 13, and God will bless his holy and inspired word to all our hearts. I lift my Ebenezer this morning. This is the 33rd time that I have brought a motto text to this church in my ministry. I thank God for his enabling grace and sustaining power. Turn with me to the 31st chapter of Deuteronomy. And the verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. This is one of those great Bible seven texts, that there's seven things set forth in this text. When you're reading the Bible, mark the third text, where there are three things to a text. And of course, some of them have five, and some of them have more than five. First of all, please notice, we have the identity of the foremost. And the Lord, he it is. Then as you turn to the second part of the text, you have the defensibility of the forerunner that doth go before thee. Then number three, you have the faithfulness or fidelity of the fellow traveler. He will be with thee. And then fourthly, you have the stickability of the fearless companion. He will not fail thee. Then fifthly, you have the ability of the faithful yoke fellow, nor forsake thee. Sixthly, you have the impregnability of the final exhortation, fear not. And seventhly, the infallibility of full command is assured, neither be discouraged. Let me remind you of something that's very important. The word Lord in our Authorized Version Bible, when it is printed in capital letters, is the word Jehovah in the original text. While the word God is God's general name, expressive of God in his deity to all his creatures, the name Jehovah is a name of a special relationship that God has with his people. For example, I am Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jehovah is the covenant name of God. You could turn in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 18:21 and compare it with the verses 36 and 39. And that will prove that Jehovah is the covenant name of God. The specific teaching is a name of love and mercy in general, and in particular, holiness is always present. He is the holy God. In some places, the name is reduplicated to give a greater emphasis on the thought. Mark Isaiah chapter 12 and 2 and Isaiah chapter 26 and 4. Please note, as you read the scriptures, that Jehovah and the angel of Jehovah designate the same one person. That's proved from Genesis 16, verse 7 to 13, and Genesis 18, verses 1, 2, and 22. Jehovah of the Old Testament is none other than the Jesus of the New Testament. That's easily proved. John 1 and 18, Hebrews 1, 10, Mark 1, 1 and 2, Matthew 11, 3 to 6, Revelation 1, 8, and 22, 20. Christ is the Lord, which is. Christ is the Lord, which was. Christ is the Lord, which is to come. Revelation 1 and verse 4. The great expositor, Munro Gibson, in his book, The Ages Before Moses and the Mosaic Era, wrote this. The entire Old Testament is lighted and warmed by a name, multiplied in almost every page, which has the same sweetness in a believer's ear as the much-loved name of Jesus. See Exodus 3:15. This name binds the entire Old Testament and New Testament together. It is a harmony far into the depths and far below the surface. It confirms for us the inspiration of the Scriptures. Our God is a beautiful, loving, tender-hearted God. Suppose a man is to suffer sentence for death. He is a victim for the hanging tree. He has already appealed to the authority of the king and his counselors for mercy. And he waits in the prison cell with the shadow of the hanging tree over his inmost soul. The messenger with the reply to his petition arrives back. The sentence has been confirmed. The victim peals because his last hope has been dashed to the ground. But the messenger who brought the devastating message moves forward. And he tells the victim that there is a way of deliverance from the hanging gallows. If the son of the ruling king exchanges his place with him and dies in his place, he can escape his own hanging. That death-shadowed prisoner cries out, "That's impossible." But wonder of wonders, the messenger says, "I am myself the king's son. It is my wish and the wish of my father, the king, that I die for you. I will take your place because I love my father's wish and will. And I love you, and I will save you from death. I will die in your stead." That is the simple gospel. God has devised means whereby his banished be not always expelled from him. The Lord Jehovah, he is the one who is the blessed, lowly Jesus himself. He commits himself. He is the foremost in the work of keeping you forever safe on the way you go, and afterwards to receive you to glory. So the first thing we look at today in the blessed seven precious truths of this text is the identity of the foremost, Jehovah, the Lord Jesus. But look again at the text. What does it say? And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. What a wonderful promise that is. It comes even more defensible when we ponder its full implications. The defensibility of the forerunner that doth go before you. The Lord Jesus can make this guarantee, and he can keep it. Why? Because the way you go is a way that he himself has planned, and is a way that he himself has built up for you to go. The planner knows the way, and therefore infallibly can go before you and lead you safely through. There is nothing in the road ahead in your life that Christ has not already conquered for you. His blessed footprint glorious declares that you can put your feet in his footprints all the way. What impregnable comfort that affords. I was taught in Sunday school the hymn, Anywhere with Jesus, I need fear no ill. Though temptations gather round my pathway still, he himself was tempted that he might save me. Anywhere with Jesus, I may victor be. Remember, the Lord Jesus is always with us, and he's always before us. There is not any part on the road of life when he will leave us or forsake us. He has not only traversed over and over again this path, but he's always with his people. He is the planner of their road. And he is also the greatest pilgrim on the road. Therefore, we can all raise our song today on this first Sabbath of a new year. And we can say, he will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over when the loved one I shall meet. Nothing can resist the Lord Jesus Christ. We need no enemy to progress alone. The enemy is defeated before we ever confront him. Christ has disarmed the devil, broken him forever. Old Martin Luther was right when he shouted, fear not to fight with a broken-headed enemy. Thomas Watson, one of the greatest of the Puritan divines, said, our Lord is not weary in giving. He is not weary in giving. The springs of mercy are ever running. God did not only dispense blessings in former times, but he still gives gifts to us all. As the sun not only enriches the world in the morning, but keeps light for the meridian of the day, so the honey from the Lord's honeycomb is always dropping. God delighteth in mercy. As a mother feeds her child with delight, so God from the breast of his mercy delights to feed us, his born again children. God sets the table before us. He causes our cup to run over. But he does something even better than that. He brings all our enemies around the table and says, you're not getting even a bite. This is all for my child. And our enemies have to watch us as we feast at his table. Never forget Psalm 23. He prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemies. His enemies will not get a crumb from that table. But we will get the feasts, desserts and all, and as many helpings as we want. Hallelujah, what a feast. Hallelujah, what a preparation God makes for his people. In sorrow he's my comfort. In trouble he's my stay. He tells me every load on him to bear. He's the lily of the valley. He's a bright and morning star. He is my friend forevermore. But let's go a little farther in this text, and you'll come to the fidelity of the fellow traveler. He will be with thee. Never forget, Christ left heaven for you. He came from the bosom of God, from the incomprehensible divine Trinity for you. The heaven of heavens had always been his home. The bosom of the Father had always been his resting place. Yet it pleased the Father and the Holy Ghost and the Son as well. He too was pleased with the arrangement that he should go into the world to save sinners. Yes, Christ bowed the knee to the demand of the broken law of God, broken by us, filthy, rebellious sinners. South, the great Episcopal preacher of old times said, what is all this to Christ's humiliation? He who stumbles from a tower surely has a greater blow than he who slides from a molehill. And we may as well compare the falling of a crumb from the table to the falling of a star from the firmament. Our Lord Jesus took the greatest leap from the highest height to the lowest depth for you. This is the wonder of the gospel. By so doing, he made it possible that he should be with us forevermore. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He will be with thee. Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, the faithfulness and fidelity of Christ, the fellow traveler on the road. Because of it, I can receive the wonder of the practice of the real presence of Christ each day in the pilgrim way. Not the mass, but the miracle of God. Fourthly, you have the stickability of the Christ that can never fail. He will not forsake us. Christ our Lord is alive forevermore, and he holds the keys of hell and of death. His resurrection is far more than an illustration. It is a demonstration that he is the first fruits of an uncountable harvest. He is the first fruits according to the scriptures. There could be no resurrection followers except there is the first fruits. Mr. Spurgeon, in one of his great sermons, said, "Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." In the old days, when the Roman heroes returned from the blood-red fields, and the Senate awarded them a triumph, they rode their chariots, drawn by milk-white steeds, through the thronging streets of the capital of Rome. So, said Spurgeon, did Christ do when he arrived in heaven. He led captivity captive. He received a triumph for his father's, from his father's hands. The triumphal chariot bore Christ through the streets of glory. And all the inhabitants there loudly cried as they saluted the great conqueror. "Crown him! Crown him!" Crowns become the victor's brow. There and then he gave gifts unto men. And the one greatest gift he gave was this: the promise of his continuance with us forever. "Lo, I am with you always." His abiding presence. He has always and ever redeemed that pledge. And thank God, he will be with us forevermore. Our final destiny and our eternal destiny is in the house of the Father. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. When your journey is completed, when the last step has been taken, and the last part of the road passed over, will you be with him for all eternity? Dear sinner friend, there's only one place for you if you're unconverted, and that is the darkness and the pangs and the anguish of a lost sinner's hell. But oh, today, I can tell you of a place he has prepared for all those that love him. And if you trust him today, and anything happens to you by the way of life, it will be for you absent from the body and present with the Lord. May God bless his word. We'll return to the other points in this text tonight. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for the love that drew salvation's plan. We thank thee for the King's Son who took our place. And he went to the gallows, and we are marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. May not one leave this meeting in unbelief, but may everyone be saved by the grace of God. Let thy mercy and thy grace be with us for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen.